First of all, it's great to be here. It's great to be here with a family. Just turn to your neighbour and say it's great to be family. Just turn to your friend next to you. You have friends, honestly, you do. Just want us to lift our hands, just even if you're seated there. Our Heavenly Father, hallowed be your name. May your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven.
Yes.
Hallowed be your name, Lord. May your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. The God revealed in Scripture is King. Not only King on a level with other kings, each with their own sphere of control, but he's the king of all kings.
Amen. Yeah.
This king has a kingdom. That kingdom, the realm over which he has lawful jurisdiction, includes every molecule of the planet on which we live. It includes the farthest flung reaches of our galaxy and of every galaxy. It includes those regions that are inhabited by the angelic hosts, both fallen and holy. No matter what the world, what's happening in the world at the moment, Jesus is still King of Kings.
Yes, yeah.
Jesus is the unshakable one and the unchangeable one.
Amen.
I've got a picture up there. I want to bring you into the greatness of God first before I bring you right down to the one that's living inside us. This is the wonderful M51, as you all know. M51 is a Whirlpool galaxy. Now, this thing sits about 30 million light years away. What does that actually mean in language, Gary? Well, very simply, it means if you travelled at 186,000 miles per second, that's quite fast, isn't it? Considering some of us should have been travelling at 30 miles an hour here before we get here. 186,000 miles per second, and you travelled at that speed for 30 million years, you'd arrive at this thing here. And it's actually quite a small one, really. It's got 160 billion stars in it, and every one of them God's named. Isn't that fun? Just because he can. Just because he can. According to the best estimates of astronomers, there are at least 100 billion galaxies. So there's at least 100 billion of those in the observable universe. There's actually some galaxies. Say this one's quite small. The one that we're on is fairly big, actually, but there's some big boys out there. God's got some big boys. God's decided, if I'm going to do something, I'll do it big. And he's got one out there called, I won't say what it's called. I think it's M101, actually. This galaxy has an estimated 1 trillion stars. It's not the national debt of America. 1 trillion stars. What does that mean to us? Well, if I decided one day and I wanted to get up one morning and I said, I'd love to count those stars, each one by one. I'd love to, you know, just one by one, just, you know, not one Mississippi, two Mississippi, three Mississippi, but I want to count them. Basically, that would take you about 30,000 years to count that. Why have I got that up there? God is a star-breathing God.
Amen. Yeah.
And you're on this tiny speck of a planet called Earth, and you're living in this wonderful place called Crawley.
Yeah.
And God knows who you are. God knows you personally. So we worship. When we're worshiping today, we're worshiping a star-breathing, profoundly massive.
Yeah.
See, God is greater than all of his creation. And he's holding every galaxy, every star. He's holding every planet. And he's holding it all together by his very word. And he's holding you together by his word today. It means that God is king now and always. God has never been dethroned. God is not only majestic and holy, but he's also personal and loving.
Yeah.
Do you remember that psalm that says, "What is man that you're mindful of him? The Son of Man. What is man that you're mindful of him?" Mercifully, we are dealing with a creator. He's not only sovereign, but also compassionate. God knew that if we tried to run our own lives, we would reap misery and conflict. And that drive that we have inside of us to be in control would render us hopelessly enslaved and would utterly destroy us. This is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ came down, laid down his life for you and me. I'd just like to turn to Philippians 2, verse 7 to 11 now. I want to bring you into the picture of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. They're totally self-sufficient in the person of the Trinity of God. And yet one day God decided, and he said, "Let there be light." Yeah. And he spoke with such power, such faith. And as he spoke, all of these things came into being and had their existence. And yet, we see the love of God and the grace of God and the majesty of God actually displayed now in this next scripture. We see he was prepared, this star breathing, this planet making, this person forming, majestic holy God was prepared to make himself nothing, taking on the nature of a servant and becoming thoroughly human. He was a man in every respect, even though he retained his divinity. See, he was fully God, but fully man. But he humbled himself, the one that was there with the Father, and it's like, let's just speak this galaxy, M51. We'll call it M51. God can call it something else. But man's got quite a boring concept. We'll just put a label and a number on it. But, you know, but as he spoke, you see, things had to happen because he's the creator. He's the creator of the universe, and he's the creator of our lives. Because we've all been fearfully and wonderfully made. It says, even so, he humbled himself to such an extent that he obeyed the Father's will, that he should die the death of a criminal on the cross. Because of his obedience, God the Father has now exalted him to the highest place in heaven, and given him the name that is far superior to any other name. Every knee in heaven, on earth, and even in the underworld will bow at the name of Jesus. Every tongue will have to acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord. For this is the Father's glorious will. That creator, that incredible creator that spoke, one day he's going to wrap up the heavens, he's going to fold everything up like he's folding up a garment, and then he's going to create a new heaven and a new earth for us to be part of. Something that's not marred by sin and marred by what we've done to it. I've got that picture up here there for a really important reason. You see, this surrender was and is and still is the source and mean of true freedom and fullness. Yeah. To surrender to the Creator's control is not onerous or burdensome. It is, in fact, the place of blessing and fullness and peace. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross. For me, what did I do? I resisted the Father's call to surrender to him. What was happening in my life? What happens in a lot of our lives I can think I can get by my own. What was the issue? Well, the pride of my own heart stopped me from finding true freedom. But thanks be to God for his wonderful mercy and grace. See, that point of surrendering to his lordship simply set the stage for a lifetime of surrender. Having surrendered our lives to Christ, the Saviour and Lord, we must now learn what it means to live out a surrendered life. To continually say no to self and yes to God. It's very difficult to say no, Lord, because that's a stupid statement. I know Jesus says, let your yes be yes and your no be no. But he is the one who gave up everything. He laid down everything, every title, every name. He laid it down to serve the Father's will. Because we know in that place in Gethsemane, that place in Gethsemane was a place of incredible pressure. Gethsemane means like an olive press. You know when you press something, when you press oil, the oil comes out. When Jesus was pressed, you see, sin didn't come out. But when he was pressed in that place of extreme pressure, he was about to go and face the most terrible thing that he'd faced, to take the sin of the world upon his shoulders and to bear humanity's sin upon his very life. In that place of where he could have chosen not to, in his heart, he surrendered and he said, not my will, but your will be done.
Amen. Yeah.
Sometimes in the olive press of life, and when there is pressure there, we see who we really are. It's not my will, but your will be done. We may never realize some of the specific implications of that surrender. You mean my money belongs to God? I've mentioned it, money, I've mentioned the word money. My kids, my body, my time. I'd never thought about that. If I surrender my family to the Lord, what will happen to them? If I surrender my finances, will my needs be met? Yes, they will be met, because God will meet your needs according to his glorious, the glorious inheritance that we have in Christ.
Yes, yes.
Why do I say this today? You see, if we refuse to surrender the whole of our lives to God, we are never truly free. We're never truly free. Rather, we find ourselves dominated by ungodly appetites and forces. When we throw off the restraints of our wise, loving God, we become slaves to the very thing we held on to. We are still in control and unaware that it's still hindering our personal freedom. Imagine today, okay, I'm just going to ask Pastor Paul's help just for a second. If he can sit there, it's fine. Say this is an issue that I've been carrying in my life, and for us, you know, for many years, you know, we've understood, or we may even be the first time we understand today, that God is our Savior. Mm. And that gift of being saved, it's a gift.
Yeah.
It's a gift of God that we come into salvation. But as we are saved, we're not saved to do our own will. We're saved to then follow God and be obedient to him. Now, God knew that we couldn't do this in our own strength. God knew that we would need the Holy Spirit to do that. The grace, the empowering of God to do that. But sometimes in our lives, we've got situations that we're holding, that we could hold. It could be unforgiveness towards someone. And just hold on to this tight, Pastor Paul. And the Lord, you know, could be saying to you, I want you to surrender this area of your lives. Why is he saying that? Because God wants to bring us into freedom, to liberty. Because he knows the moment that we take whatever it is to the cross, through repentance and faith, God knows. So just hold on to this tight, okay? Just hold it tight. And God goes, I'm just saying, and I'm being respectful as I say this, Pastor Paul, you need to forgive this person. And then God tries to take it, you see? And then Pastor Paul doesn't want to. You see, Pastor Paul is still in control at that moment. But when we surrender and when we say yes to Jesus, and when we, if there's any areas in our lives, you know, we live in an age at the moment that's, the virtual reality world is going so crazy at this moment. You know, I'll mention one thing, and I'll be mentioned today, Pokemon. You know, it brings, it's like a virtual reality thing. People are playing into this virtual reality world and buying into stuff and the 3D stuff that God's bringing people into. You know, so the enemy's bringing people into. It could be anything. It could be drinks. It could be drugs. It could be alcohol. If we hold on to something and don't surrender it, the thing that we hold on to, it enslaves us. Yeah? It could be pornography. It could be anything. If we hold on to it, but what we have is a merciful, loving, amen, gracious, yeah, Father, yeah, who reaches his hands out in love and mercy, and he goes, you know, Paul, let this go. And as Paul willingly chooses to let it go, Paul is free, and the blood of Jesus has cleansed the power of whatever that was done. Yeah. Do you understand that? Yeah.
Yes.
Do you understand in a sense? You know, we're in this, you know, as we're born, you know, we were born with this sense that we want to be in control. But the craziest thing is when we actually submit our lives to Christ, when we yield ourselves to him and yield our lives to him, when we surrender our lives to him, then we are fully free.
Yeah.
God's not going to force us to do it.
Amen.
Because he wants us to do it willingly.
Yeah.
Not because he wants to beat us over the head and make us feel bad or live in shame, because he wants to free us and set us free.
Amen. Yeah.
And make us whole.
Yeah.
You know, that so the enemy can't use shame and guilt and fear,
yeah,
in any of our lives. We read in Peter today the scripture that everybody's in all the congregations. 1 Peter 1, verse 13 to 19. Therefore, prepare your minds for action. Be self-controlled. Set your hope fully on the grace given you when Jesus Christ is revealed. As obedient children, do not conform to the evil desires you have when you lived in ignorance. But just as he has called you is holy, so be holy in all you do. For it is written, be holy because I am holy. Since you call on a Father who judges each man's work impartially, live your lives as strangers here in reverent fear. God loves the world and came to die for the world, but we're not of the world. We're aliens in a sense. We're the right aliens, we're God's aliens. Yeah. For you know that it was not with perishable things such as silver or gold that you were redeemed from your empty way of life handed down to you from your forefathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish or defect. How wonderful is that? We were called to be holy. We can only be holy by the gift of God's grace to us. We're only made holy by what he has accomplished and achieved. And we can only live out that life through the power of the Holy Spirit. Let me encourage you today. The world will always try and feed you with its most compelling lie. You need this car, this house, this career to be successful. We are not defined by what we own or by what we do. We are defined by who God says we are as his beloved children.
Yeah, yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
We're not defined by what the world says we are. If I have led a life, you know what I mean, and I've in a sense and had a broken life and I've messed up, and as I come to Jesus and I'm forgiven, I could have even been in a situation where out of a damaged relationship, I could have come out of a place where I've, you know, been divorced or things like that, or I could have been defined by tragedy and fear, and God says, don't be defined by those things. Don't be defined by those things. You're defined now by who you are in Christ Jesus. You're holy. You're loved. You're a child of God. You're set apart. You're made in his image and made in his glory to reflect him, to display his glory. You're a child of light. Oh, man, just smile to your neighbor. You can look, you can smile. Just smile to your neighbor. That's good news, Gary. Just say that's good news, Gary. That's good news, whoever your neighbor is. Why is that important? You cannot forgive your own sin. Jesus has made forgiveness possible for you. With his own blood, he has made it possible for all your sins to be forgiven. He's purchased you with the price of his blood, so you belong to God. Isn't that great?
Amen. Yeah. Yes.
You cannot make yourself acceptable to God. Have you ever tried that one? If I get up and I'm doing my intercession, I pray 214 hours a day. I fast. You know, most of my life is just spent fasting. That's how thin I am. You know, obviously you're taking thoughts captive now and realizing that's not true for you, Gary. I have a wonderful wife who makes cakes. I'm sure she's getting thinner and I'm getting bigger. Well, we won't go there. Jesus has already done that. You have been brought back into right relationship with God and made you completely acceptable to him through your faith in Jesus Christ. Your faith has made you acceptable. Yeah? You don't have to try and find that acceptance anywhere else. We can't make ourselves holy. It is through his death that he's made you holy.
Amen. Yeah.
Amen. Yeah. Just help me this morning. Just put your hands in the air. Okay, and just say, thank you, Jesus.
Thank you.
All right, let's, do you know what I mean? It's like, you've made me holy.
Yeah.
You've made me holy. Yeah. I don't have to earn it. You've achieved it. You've accomplished it on the cross. You cannot even please God by your own efforts. No matter how hard you try, only through Jesus can you please him. Isn't that wonderful?
Yeah.
You see, what we do is we let our roots grow down into him and draw all the nourishment from him. We abide in him because we live in Christ Jesus. We are able to do the good works that are the evidence of our salvation. Rachel and Tim are going to Preston. Amen. It's great. It's just, okay, it's a loss at one level because it's a change in a season of friendships, but they're going into God's calling. They're going into what God has planned for them, and they're not going to be able to do it in their own strength. And that's really, really good. God has called you to do something that's far bigger than you yourselves. And what's it going to need? It's going to take faith. Amen? It's going to take faith because we can't do this. Yes, of course, we could try and set up a secular thing, but God's called you into supernatural reality where he's going to call you into Preston, where you're going to touch lives, where you're going to see circumstances change because you're spiritual. You're not natural. We're made spiritually alive in Christ. So when you come in contact in situations and people come in the mix of you, what you carry is hope and what you carry is love. And as they see you, they see hope and they see love. Amen. They see all things are possible for those who believe. I'm speaking life over you, Tim. I'm speaking life over you, Rachel. I agree with it because I believe in you. God believes in you because that investment of life he's made in you. You're called to make a difference. You're called to be a difference. Why? It's Christ in you, the hope of glory. It's going to do that. I'll be quite quick here. Romans 12 verse 1. In the light of this wonderful mercy God has shown us, I strongly encourage you as my brothers to give your bodies to God in living sacrifice. Do what is holy and pleasing to him. This is the kind of worship he really wants. And that is the outworking of the life of his Spirit who lives within us. See, we can't do it without the Holy Spirit. In verse 2, in order to live like this, you cannot live according to the standards of this world around you. You need a completely different mindset so that you are certain of God's will for your life and are prepared to put his will into action. For his will is good, it pleases him because it's perfect. As Rohan has prayed already today, worship is not only an act, it's a lifestyle. A worshipper is one who has a relationship with the one who one worshipped. A worshipper is one who bows the whole of his life before God. This act of worship is like a kiss. It's such an intimate expression of two meeting together in intimacy. To be a child of God is to know him and to live in union and fellowship with him. I'm just going to share one story, and then we'll finish. I want to share a story that we've read probably hundreds of times. It's in John 4:23. It's when Jesus comes and meets a lady at the well, and she's a Samaritan. But I want you just to see the power of worship. And I want you to see that when God turns up in your life, you see, it all changes. He doesn't look at you through your past. He doesn't look at you through the failure of anything that we did. But when he turns up into our lives, everything changes. And this is we know this. Yet a time is coming and has now come when the true worshippers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. See, worship is our lives and it's our lifestyle. We can't be playing with the enemy one minute, messing around with things of darkness, and then coming into church on a Sunday morning worshipping God. We can't play with God like that. Worshippers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for they are the kind of worshippers the Father seeks. God is spirit, and his worshippers must worship in spirit and truth. Now listen to this. The woman said, I know that Messiah called Christ is coming. When he comes, he will explain everything to us. Then he declared, I who speak to you am he. Here is a woman who is making a daily routine to visit the well to get water. What happened? She was confronted by Jesus. He told her everything about her life. But most importantly, he began to reveal to her who he really was. And he did this in the context of worship. If you get hold of this, it can be life-changing today. The Samaritan woman changed instantly. She shifted her faith to the one who was the Messiah. See, worship must have an object, and faith must be expressed to that object. Immediately, the woman was lifted out of her last identity, and the will of heaven was displayed. Just in that encounter, just in that touch of worship. In just one moment, this woman went from being a person with a bad reputation. Some of us may have a bad reputation or don't live under the power of that reputation. Some of us have made mistakes. Have you made mistakes? Yeah. Or don't live under the power of those mistakes. In just one moment, this woman went from being a person with a bad reputation to being an evangelist. Instead of living from that reputation, she started speaking from her new identity and led all of the men in the city to be transformed. She went back. That encounter with Jesus changed her life so much, and she was so overcome with who he was, One, he didn't judge her, he didn't condemn her, he didn't belittle her. Yes, he told her the truth, but he wasn't letting that define her. And with that one encounter, she went back and she said, "Everybody, come and see this Jesus. Come and see Jesus. Come and see this man. Come and see this man that didn't judge me. Come and see this man that didn't condemn me. Come and see this man." A little bit of poetic license in there, but you understand? She's carrying something because she'd met Jesus. Instead of living from that reputation, she started speaking from that new identity. The knowledge and revelation that she received by worshipping in spirit and truth covered the city. The glory she experienced infected an entire culture. She was moved from a routine dark existence into a new dimension of reality. Isn't that wonderful? Just because she'd met Jesus, she was in that dark reality, in that dark existence. Water was flowing in the core of her being. Not only was she drinking, but others were also drinking from her. She was experiencing heaven on earth in Samaria. I'm going to finish with these two scriptures now. Galatians 2:20. I have been crucified with Christ. I have been crucified together with Christ. The person I was no longer lives, but now Christ lives in me. The life I live in my body, I live by faith in God's Son who loved me and gave himself for me. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Now we are sure that if anyone is in Christ, made one with him by their faith in him, then that person is a new creation. Just turn to your neighbor and say, I'm a new creation. The old person he was died, is buried and finished with, gone forever. Now he has become a new person. For me, in my life, When I was much smaller, but it could have defined a lot of who I am. I struggled intensely with academic stuff. I'm not speaking this as over a place for me. There's a dyslexic thing that I had, and so for every group that I was put in as a child, I went into like the dunces group or that's what defined. So if someone said to me, if I played darts with someone now. And they said, could you count backwards when you play darts? I couldn't do it. Right? The brain just doesn't, the computer doesn't go, it just doesn't work in that way. Have I let that define who I am? Yeah? Because every week, for years and years and years, I was led out into a group of people that, because we probably had all issues and stuff that we were dealing with. And I could have lived under the power of that. I could have lived under that I can't do it. And God in his wisdom, what does God do? He chooses the foolish things of this world to shame the wise. He chooses people like you and me that are nobodies, in a sense, that can be made somebodies because you're children of God. Isn't it wonderful? Yeah, I've struggled academically the whole of my life. Now God in his wisdom decides, Gary, don't focus on what you can't do. Focus on who you have. Don't focus. So for me, my testimony, my confession for all of my life since I've become saved is I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. I always remember when I led worship at Faith Camp once, I thought I was literally going to have a baby. I thought I was literally going to have a baby. And the guys asked me to lead worship in front of what it was at that time, about 5,000 people. It was like, you are having a laugh. I can't do it. But I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. Yeah, I wasn't focusing. I will boast in my weakness, but so that I can boast in Christ's strength and his glory. So today, Today is the day of salvation. Today is the day of freedom. Today is the day of blessing. Today is the day where we can say, God, you know, if last week was bad, let's park last week. Amen. If things happened last week, let's park it. Monday morning is a great time. Today is a great day. Why? You're not living in the power of what anybody has said to you. You know, people have spoken stuff over me. You know, you can't do this. Mocked me, messed around, you know, belittled me. But I'm not living with the power of those words, because the word of God defines who I am in Christ Jesus. Amen. I'm loved, you're loved, I'm holy, you're blessed, you're healed, you're made whole in his eyes. You know, so a little while ago I was just, you know, visiting a couple and their lives were so broken. And, you know, in the natural, that you see, we see people through the eyes of love, and we see them through the eyes that God sees them. They're human beings made in his image. God looks at the heart, we look at the outside. God looks on the inside. We judge from the outside, or we can do. Let's just stand now and let's just give thanks to God. Father, thank you today.
Thank you, Jesus,
that I can surrender. Let's just lift our hands to him now. Lord, I surrender my life afresh to you today. I surrender to you today. I surrender to you today. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Lord. You are holy. Lord, just saying to you, Sarah, child, I see you through love. Child, I see you through love. Child, I see you through the eyes of love. My mercy is new every day. Set before you now my blessing and my glory. In the name of Jesus, right now. Right now, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father, for the blessing of being a child of God. For the blessing of being made in your eyes, being set apart. Never will I leave you, Sarah. Never will I forsake you. I am your shield and I am your rock. I am your strong tower. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Father, I thank you today that true freedom is as we yield everything to our eyes, everything of our lives to you. Father, I thank you as we behold you in your glory. We are trained, transformed, transfigured to ever-increasing glory. And Father, for anybody here today that doesn't know you, Father, I thank you they can reach out their hand and they can find, Father, they can yield and give themselves over to your mighty hand. So Father, I thank you for your love. Thank you, Lord. Let that worship that we live our lives with this week, we worship you in spirit and in truth. Father, anything that we've not led in a way, Father, there's repentance and faith now. We choose to repent from what we have been. And we put our faith in. We receive your forgiveness and we put our faith in who you say we are. And we live out of that identity. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Amen. I just hand over to Pastor Paul.
Amen. Amen. We've heard God speak to us today, so let's live in that revelation, shall we? It's a heart thing. It's not done by just repeating a prayer, but it's a heart thing of surrender. So let's live this out, shall we, today and this week. and bring God's kingdom down through our lives to others as we surrender everything. That's where freedom comes from the Holy Spirit. So let's have a great lunch, shall we, together, and time together as we share some time. So bless you all for coming today. Have a great rest of the day, and let's have a great victorious week as well as we surrender to Jesus. Thank you, Gary, for coming. Bless you, mate.